Instead, they decided that money and material possessions were the most important things in life. Everyone needs enough money to live, but some people had become too greedy. The angels didn't cause these economic problems, but they can help us out of them. They are a gift from God and they want to help us. It's such a shame not to make use of this help. I sometimes walk past the local welfare office, where people who are unemployed are given financial assistance. Unfortunately, recently the line has often stretched out the door. As I walk past, I see angels, in addition to the guardian angels, with each and every person there. The angels will do their best to help you financially, but you have to play your part too. One day, the angels brought my attention to a young man who was standing in line with a pile of papers in his hand. There were three unemployed angels there with him. One of them was continually whispering to him. Another talked to me without words and told me that he was feeling shocked and hopeless. He had just become unemployed and was going to apply for social assistance for the first time. The angel told me that they had been prompting him over the past few days to make sure that he would remember to bring all the correct papers with him, so he would be able to sign on without any delay. They were also whispering to him to ask the right questions when he eventually got to the head of the line. The angels were telling him he was to ask about training programs he might be eligible for. The angels were working hard to keep his spirits up, to give him hope for the future so that he would make the best of any opportunities that were there for him. Of course, it's not only people and families who are unemployed who are struggling at the moment. Lots of people with jobs are struggling to make ends meet or to pay off debts. Many people have tightened their belts, some quite severely. And I see angels helping with this in all kinds of simple and, some might say, ordinary ways. But our lives are made up of simple ordinary things. It's school vacation time. Yesterday, I took a break from working on this book by walking to a local cafe. There was a mother there with her three children, and I watched as they lined up to order. The angels were working hard, playing with the children and keeping them entertained. There was an angel with the mother, and she told me that the woman was really worried about money, but that she was determined that the children would enjoy their vacation. She bought a coffee for herself and orange soda for the children. She also bought one slice of cake. I watched as she sat down and cut the piece of cake in three so that each of the children could have a piece. She had none herself. I watched the angels with the children. They were making MMM. Delicious sounds, licking their lips and reminding the children how delicious the cake they were eating was. The children were happy, and the mother gave a sigh of relief that they weren't looking for a piece of cake each, or fighting with each other. It was a small thing. But I see angels helping us in this way all the time, helping us to enjoy our life in spite of any financial concerns we might feel. The angels also show me people who are generating unnecessary financial stress for themselves. Someone asked me to meet a couple in need of help. I met them in a local hotel, and as I arrived, they were sitting in a corner surrounded by unemployed angels. The man had sheets of paper in front of him, and almost immediately after I had sat down, they started telling me of their financial problems. He listed their monthly expenses, and she added more for good measure. The angel beside him told me to make them stop. I did get them to, with difficulty. I asked them a little about themselves. The man, who was in his early 40s, had a good and stable job, and she worked every morning, close to where they lived. They had three children, one in high school and two in elementary school. The angel beside her said, they are working out their money the wrong way. Many of their expenses are unnecessary. That angel told me to ask them again about their monthly expenses. I did so, and as the husband talked, the angel told me that I was to suggest three things to them. I asked as gently as I could whether all their expenses were necessary. I did as the angel asked and suggested that they mightn't really need a second car as the wife worked locally, that the children didn't need to be doing all those extra activities, and that they might be able to eat out less often. The man threw his hands up, protesting, I can't cut back on the things the children need. The angel beside him said, it's really sad. They treat the family's finances as if it's a business. They are getting very little enjoyment at all out of their family life and are putting themselves under so much unnecessary pressure. I talked with the couple for about another 15 minutes. I know I didn't say what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear how the angels were going to help them to increase their income, so that they could maintain their lifestyle. But eventually they did listen to me. I heard nothing from them afterward, no thanks, no nothing. I feared the angel's advice had fallen on deaf ears. About a year later, I got a text message from them, thanking me and saying that they had cut back and that their lives were going well. The angels will do their best to help you financially, but you have to play your part too. Hard as this may be for some to hear, angels are not here to help us to win the lottery. You must take the steps, whatever they are, to help yourself. The angels will prompt you, but it's up to you to listen and act. We are all called upon to help people who are feeling financially stressed. We can give encouragement or advice. No matter how financially stressed we may feel, there are always people who are worse off, and we need to help. I was in a restaurant recently when a young girl came in looking for work. There was an angel with her. When the restaurant manager came out to talk to her, there were two angels with him. As he talked with the girl, the angels whispered to him. The angel with the girl told me that this man could and should give the girl part-time work, and this is what the angels were whispering to him about. He didn't listen, though, and the girl left without a job. Of course, all of our individual finances are tied up as part of a much bigger picture. The angels assure me that they are working hard with local, national, and international leaders to improve the economy globally, to improve economic conditions for everyone, but particularly those in need. We need to pray that our leaders listen to God and the angels. I know some people will find it frustrating if I say that prayer can help to reduce financial stress. But I know it can. I ask the angel our men to give me a prayer that people who are feeling hopeless because of their financial situation can say. Here is the prayer. A prayer for hard times. God, pour the grace of help upon me and allow me always to see the light of help burning brightly in front of me. Light up the darkness by filling me with faith and hope and allowing me to receive the comfort of your love. Give me the courage and strength to know that I will get through these hard times. Fill me with the joy and trust of knowing that I am your child and that you will care for me and those I love. Hear my prayer. Amen. Chapter 10. No one dies alone. I meet many people who tell me they are fearful of dying. I will often tell them that if God would take me today, I would go gladly, hard as that might be to explain to my children, who are still young. A young woman with two little children came up to me one morning in Connolly Railway Station in Dublin. She explained that her grandfather had been very ill and was afraid of dying. Her brother brought a copy of my first book, Angels in My Hair, into the hospital, and each day different members of the family used to sit by the grandfather's bed and read it aloud to him. Sometimes he would appear to go to sleep as they read and they would stop, and then he would open an eye from the bed and say, "Keep going." Reading the book once wasn't enough for him. The book was read aloud to him from cover to cover again and again. She had no idea how many times it was read in the weeks that he was dying. In this way all the family got to understand more about angels and understand that death wasn't the end. According to her, it had a profound effect on everyone. They became kinder and more optimistic, they were more patient and loving around everyone, not just their dying grandfather. She told me that when they were about a quarter of the way through the second reading of the book, her grandfather had said that he had got the message he was waiting for. That he was not afraid to die anymore. He appeared to lose his fear and become much happier in himself. He also seemed to have less pain, which was a tremendous relief to him and to all his family. He died peacefully a week or so later. A few years after Joe died, I had major surgery lasting 6 or 7 hours. The angels had told me before the surgery that I might have a little problem, but that I would recover. Lying on the stretcher going into theater, The angels were standing around the surgeon, and they told me he was the best surgeon possible. Again, they mentioned I would be fine, but there might be a little problem. Their definition of a little problem and mine were somewhat different. The surgery went fine. I remember an angel walking beside me, holding my hand, as I was pushed out of surgery. I was put into a postoperative recovery room some distance away from the nurses rather than in one that had constant supervision. The surgeon told me afterward that they heard the alarms by my bed going off only because the door was inexplicably ajar. I had stopped breathing and the medical team were sure they had lost me. I was on a very wide, bright stairway that curved upward. An angel was holding my hand and telling me to hurry. I was very happy and could feel nothing of my human body. I was full of joy. I knew where I was going to heaven and I was so happy to be going there. I had no sadness or thoughts of leaving my children behind me. There were hundreds of souls with me on their way to heaven. With each of them was their guardian angel. In some cases the guardian angel was walking beside them. Others were holding their hand, and in a few cases, the guardian angels who were enormous were carrying the souls in their arms with great tenderness, a bit like carrying a baby. The look on each guardian angel's face was one of pure love. Around each soul there were also hundreds of other angels. I was fascinated, watching the souls on their way to heaven. They were happy, completely at peace. There were no tears, no sign of stress. It was as if in some way, the souls were in a queue to go to heaven. Other souls came down to greet them, and they seemed to talk in a human way with great excitement. I could tell the difference between the souls that hadn't yet reached heaven and those that were greeting them. The souls that had been in heaven for a while were much more radiant, much brighter, and their human appearance was less marked than those of the souls who had just left the earthly world. The angel beside me was telling me to rush, that we had to hurry. We were going much faster than the other souls, overtaking them, but no one seemed to mind. In fact, some of them called out to me and told me to hurry up. I felt wonderful, I felt perfect. I had left my human body and any pain behind. I was going to where I wanted to be, and I was so happy. I had no fear or anxiety, I had no thoughts at all of anyone left behind, not even Megan, who was still very young and had already lost a father. I wasn't allowed to stop and ask questions. I didn't know why I had to move so fast, but it seemed in some way to be natural. The journey seemed to go on for ages, but in other ways it was a very short journey. Time is different in heaven. When I got to wherever I was meant to be in heaven, I was suddenly alone, not an angel in sight, although I know my guardian angel was still there. It was as if there was beautiful sand under my bare feet, and I could feel the smooth, silky, warm sand between my toes. The sand was in small hills, and I could see a beautiful tree in the distance on top of one of the hills. The tree was big, covered in leaves, and looked perfect in every way. I hadn't a care in the world. It was like being a little child again. I went and sat down under the tree for a little while and then started playing at rolling down the hill. After a short while, I heard a voice and knew immediately it was God's. "Lorna, you must go back," the voice boomed. This was my second near-death experience. The first time, I had begged to be allowed to stay in heaven. This time I didn't protest, as I knew I wouldn't be listened to anyway. An angel took me by the hand, I have no idea which angel it was, and brought me back. I have no memory of coming back into my body. Some weeks later, the surgeon told me that I had been gone for 10 minutes, and they hadn't been sure whether they could revive me or not. Some days after the operation, I became conscious in intensive care. The surgeon expected me to have brain damage, and was surprised that there were no signs of it. I know that one of the reasons I have been given these experiences is so that I can share them with all of you. So that I can help you to understand that there is nothing to fear in death. I know one of the reasons people fear death is that they are concerned about those they will leave behind. At the moment of death, you will realize that you can do much more for those you love in heaven than you can ever do for them on this earth. I know this is hard to understand. When a soul has gone to heaven, it is in a position to intercede with God in a much more powerful way, on behalf of family and loved ones, than it could when it was here on earth. After you have died, you are allowed to be with your family spiritually when they need you. The guardian angels of your family members and loved ones allow your soul to be around your family when they need comfort or encouragement or strength or simply need to feel that you are okay. You will still be in heaven, but for those few minutes you will also be with your loved ones. In some cases, they will even feel your presence and love and be reassured by it. You may also at times be able to give signs or messages of reassurance, with the help of the angels and other people, to those you loved. I see souls with people all the time. When a soul comes back to be with a person, what I am shown looks like a person but is glowing and surrounded by a light. It is very clear to me they are a soul, not a living person. They may have died and gone to heaven in their old age, but often I will be shown them in their prime. One day in a cafe, my attention was drawn to a young girl of about 20, sitting at a table on her own. She was surrounded by angels, and there in the middle of them was the soul of a man. An angel told me he was her father, who had died 6 months previously. I was allowed to hear him whispering in her ear, "I'm okay. I love you." He continued encouragingly, "I want you to get on with your life. I don't want to see you moping around and I want you to go back to college and get those exams." The last thing I heard him say before I left the cafe was, "I am so proud of you. When you die, you won't want to come back, not even for your loved ones." I know that both times I have died and gone to heaven, I didn't want to come back. I also knew that no matter how much my loved ones might grieve, they still needed to lead their own lives without me. A comfort for everyone, whether dying or grieving, is the knowledge that you will eventually meet your loved ones again, that you will be reunited when it is their time to come home to heaven. God and the angels have told me this since I was a very young child. We all will meet our loved ones again. This is something all of us need to hold in our hearts. I have met many people of all religions whose greatest fear about dying is that God will judge that their lives have not been good enough. I've also met people who say they don't believe in God but are fearful that there may in fact turn out to be a God, and that he might turn them away. I have to say that while God has told me that hell exists, he has never shown me him sending any soul to hell, and I hope and pray that he never does. Nor has he shown me any soul being sent to a place because it wasn't yet good enough for heaven. I have never been shown anything other than a soul going directly to heaven. At the moment of death, you will realize that you can do much more for those you love in heaven than you can ever do for them on this earth. God has endless compassion. To be honest, I don't have the words to express it. He is our Father and he wants us all home. No matter what we have done, he wants us in heaven if at all possible. We should have more compassion for ourselves and others, and we should forgive more both ourselves and others. We should all be willing, throughout our lives, to ask for forgiveness both from God and from people we have wronged. We are only human, and we all make mistakes, none of us is perfect. Equally, we should all be more willing to forgive. To forgive does not mean that you need to forget the wrong that has been done to you, or that you should not take steps to protect yourself from future hurt. But forgiveness releases you and sets you free. Forgiving ourselves is important. In forgiving yourself, you give yourself peace and allow yourself to become more loving to everyone around you. This is important at all times, but particularly when people are near the end of their lives. In forgiving yourself, you forgive everyone around you. God is very forgiving and all we have to do is ask him for forgiveness. Simply ask using your own words, "Oh, here is a little prayer that the angels have given me, a prayer for forgiveness and peace of mind. God, please forgive me for all my imperfections, for all the wrong I have done. Give me the grace to forgive those that have hurt me. Amen." It is never too late to ask for forgiveness, regardless of what you have done. God has infinite mercy. I have sometimes been told that someone died without asking for forgiveness, But we have no idea what they might have done in their last moments. They may have asked for forgiveness. God and the angels have also asked me to tell you that if you can forgive someone who has wronged you, you can also ask God that He will forgive that person too. God will do this for you, because you yourself have forgiven them and have asked God to forgive them also. This is very powerful, and this is the prayer I have been given for this, a prayer for forgiveness of those who have hurt me. Dear God, please forgive those that have hurt me because I forgive them. Amen. Occasionally, someone will tell me of a relative or friend who was alone when they died. No one dies alone. Your guardian angel is there with you, holding on to your soul, and will bring it safely home to heaven. I was walking down a corridor in a hospital in Dublin on one occasion, and the angel with me told me to stop and look in the open door to a room. There was a woman in a bed. There was no one with her at all, but she was surrounded by angels. Her guardian angel, who was enormous, was bent over her, lifting her soul up out of her body ever so gently. Her guardian angel radiated gold. It didn't give a male or female appearance, but seemed to be dressed in heavy robes like velvet. The guardian angel was looking at the soul it was holding with such love and tenderness. At the end of the bed there was the soul of a loved one, a woman who was radiant and smiling with her arms outstretched to the woman in the bed. The woman in the bed's soul was halfway out of the body, with her guardian angel gently holding it. The soul was delighted. There was no fear or anxiety. She knew she was going home and was overjoyed. The entire room was bathed in a wonderful golden light. I stood there watching, knowing that there was no need for me or anyone else to do anything. It was her time and she was going peacefully and joyfully. I said a prayer not for her, but for those she loved who would miss her. Chapter 11, Angels Do Play Cupid. I have never seen an angel with a bow and arrow. But I do see angels helping us in our love lives, so they do play Cupid. You'd be amazed if you could see just how much angels do to help with romantic love. I see them whispering to people, nudging couples together, arranging circumstances so that people can meet, or standing between a couple who are arguing to soften the dispute. I sometimes even see them tying a very fine gold thread of light around a couple to help to bind them together and teach them how to love each other. I also see them trying to lessen the pain when a couple has decided to separate or divorce. There are lots of different types of love: love for a child, love for a friend, love for nature. I see love as a light that flows from one person to another person or thing, but romantic love looks different to me. It's brighter and more vibrant. Many of us know that this love is different because we have been in love ourselves. Romantic love is important to all of us, and it's something that most of us search for and want in our lives, but it's also one of the most difficult forms of love, largely because of our unrealistic expectations. Nevertheless, the angels want us to have romantic love in our lives and work very hard to help us let it in and keep it alive. I was walking down a street when the angels around me whispered to me to look ahead. The street was busy with people and angels, and then, some distance away, I saw some angels waving to me. There were four angels, and they were with four people in their late 20s, two men and two women. The angels told me to walk more slowly. I did so, all the time watching the four people. I asked the angels without words whether there was something wrong. They didn't answer me. As I got nearer, one man and woman left, leaving what looked like a couple. The four angels stayed with the couple. The angels were trying to get them to stand closer to each other. One angel nudged the man, and he took a step closer. At the same time, an angel was whispering to the woman. She wasn't listening, though, and took a step backward. I was near enough now to overhear their conversation. She was doing most of the talking and seemed to be arguing with him in accented English. My impression was that they were both from Eastern Europe, but since they were speaking English, I presume they came from different countries. The woman was tall, taller than the man. The angel beside the man told me that he loved the woman very much, that they were a couple, but that he was afraid of losing her. The angel beside the woman completed the story, telling me that while she loved him, she believed he wasn't good enough for her. She felt he wasn't perfect, and in particular that he wasn't tall enough or good-looking enough. The angels told me that this couple were meant to be together, and they were doing everything they could to help her to see his good points and to give him the courage and confidence not to give up. As I reached them, the angels told me to walk closer to the couple. I passed them on the left-hand side of the woman and, as I did, the beautiful angel with her bent over and turned her head, looking directly into the woman's eyes and face. I could see the light from the angel lighting up her eyes and face, helping her to open her heart and mind and comprehend the love she had for this man and to understand that appearances didn't matter. It was touching to see how hard this angel was working to try and ensure that this woman didn't walk away from this man and their love. As I continued on walking, I said a prayer for the couple. The angels were doing all they could to help the couple to make the right decision, but angels can't overstep the boundaries of free will. A young woman called Sophie told me she had asked her guardian angel to help her to meet her soulmate. She told me that she had gone out with a number of young men but that it never lasted, and that she was currently going out with a young man called Anthony. As she spoke, an angel standing beside her spoke to me without words. She is being too hard in her judgment of him. Sophie told me that Anthony didn't understand her and that he wasn't as intelligent as she was. She told me she only wanted to marry her soulmate. "You have to give him a chance," I said. "And yourself a chance, too. No one is perfect, and you are not perfect either." She looked a bit startled as she admitted, "I suppose I'm not." "You have got to give each other a chance to learn how to love each other. Ask your guardian angel to allow an angel of love to come and help you and Anthony learn how to love each other. The angel can help you to discover whether you can love each other enough to marry and have a family, or whether you should part. We all have to learn to accept that no one is perfect, including ourselves. Angels of love are a type of teacher angel. They can teach us how to allow romantic love into our lives, and they help us to avoid sabotaging ourselves. They also do a lot to help ensure that we are given the opportunity to meet the right people. They look quite distinctive from other teacher angels. They wear pastel, multicolored cloaks that fit close to their head and come all the way down to the ground. This cloak is very fine and light, but not even a breeze moves it. Most of us invite angels of love to help in our lives even unconsciously. Some of us even invited them in as children, through our enjoyment of fairy tales with their and they all lived happily ever after endings. Never worry about what angel you need to ask for. If you ask your guardian angel for help, it will call on the help of the appropriate angel. There is so much help there, so many different types of angels, and your guardian angel knows exactly which angel you need. So just ask your guardian angel. Some months later, at a book signing, I met Sophie again. She told me she was going to break up with Anthony that evening. She told me that even though he had told her he loved her and she felt she loved him, she didn't feel that their love was strong enough. She didn't think they were soulmates. I could see an angel of love right beside her talking to her, but she wasn't listening. I suggested to her that very few people meet their soulmate, but she was adamant she would. A few weeks later, I was walking through Dublin window shopping when an angel told me to look ahead. I looked up a street crowded with people, and the light of a guardian angel opened up behind a young woman. I could see what love the guardian angel had for her, but the angel said nothing. I walked in the direction of the young woman, who was standing still and texting. When I got closer, I recognized it was Sophie. As I walked toward her, she looked up from her mobile phone and rushed toward me. She immediately started to tell me about her breakup with Anthony. "I have been such a fool, I have made a terrible mistake, breaking up with Anthony. I never realized how much I loved him and how lonely I'd be without him." The angel of love right behind her embraced her, comforting her as she was near to tears. She told me she was to meet Anthony for a drink a few days later, and she was hoping that they would get back together again. She asked me to pray for them. I told her she needed to be very truthful with him and to listen attentively to what he had to say, and that I would ask God and the angels to let whatever was best for them happen. I did hear later that the two of them got back together again and are still together. Very few people marry their soulmates.